Listening to Terror on Tequila.
You're listening to WTOT, Terror on Tequila. I'm Jason Lucas, your bartender of terror, mixing your drinks, stirring your fears, and blending your horror with just a little bit of alcohol. I'm joined once again by Dave Fuentes from Terror from Beyond the Daves.
Greetings. You can check out mine and the other Terror Dave David Alba's Rondo Award-winning blog by visiting terrordaves.com. And remember that you can also follow us on Twitter at @TerrorDaves and like us on Facebook. I don't know, Jason, which is better, Twitter or Facebook?
Well, Dave, that depends on your point of view.
Which also takes us to the subject of tonight's show, Point of View Films. How's that for a segue?
Oh, my God.
How's that for a segue? Yeah, that was pretty bad. Anyway, ever since the Blair Witch Project, there's been a bevy of films created that have added a whole new dimension of realism to horror via found amateur footage suddenly discovered and presented as a movie. The biggest discovery for Hollywood, however, was that these films could be made fairly cheap while still turning a profit. The result of which has been a flood of films covering virtually every subgenre of horror. Should this trend continue, or is this yet another example of the movie industry beating a good idea to death?
The most famous point of view franchise is the Paranormal Activity films, which have received yearly sequels since the first film debuted in 2009. We'll be discussing all of these films along with other POV honorable mentions.
And this may also be a great time to mention what special beverage you have to help us through tonight's show, Jason.
Well, Dave, this is going to be a POV show with a whole lot of PVO. This is some potent Seagram's VO whiskey with Coca-Cola. And in case this isn't enough, I'll also have plenty of my infamous Jell-O jigglers that are guaranteed to shake you up like a handheld camcorder. To comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable, it's Terror on Tequila.
Okay, we're going to do things a little bit differently tonight on Terror on Tequila. Rather than pinpoint just a few films and specifically delve into them, we're going to deal with an entire genre. Specifically today, the point of view films that have kind of proliferated the country ever since 2009's Paranormal Activity. Of course, we can trace the phenomena back to 1999 with Blair Witch Project. What did you think of that movie when it came out?
Blair Witch Project was a good movie to me. A lot of people did not like it, but I am a fan of that sort of thing. I have done a lot of filming of my own point of view, and I don't mind a jiggly camera. And I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, it makes me sick. Oh, I can't take it. I can't stand it. It's jiggly. I'm a fan of all sorts of things. And that was one movie that I thought was done very realistically. I have a lot of films of me and my friends hanging out, and a lot of it is jiggly and wobbly, and it did not bother me in the least. I thought that it added to the realism of the film. And Blair Witch Project was one of those films where you felt like you were in the movie. I really did. I did not mind the style, and I thought that the story itself was actually pretty good. The first one, that is. Then when you branch out into the part two, then I thought that it lost a little bit of the original. And the same can be said for the Paranormal Activity films that have been franchised lately out of an independent film that was actually very good before Spielberg touched it. He saw it and was impressed and thought, well, we could change it a little bit, make you some money, and maybe have a franchise. Well, you know, we'll see how that goes in our discussion here.
Yes, I would agree with you on Blair Witch. I thought it was very effective, even though you don't see a whole lot. And I think that kind of is why it was so effective. But I maybe it's because our generation, we kind of, you know, when we were teenagers, we had the, you know, we had the video camera. So that might be maybe that's why for us it was kind of cool to see that type of filming. It didn't make us sick, and, you know, we kind of understood it.
But I do remember being affected by the film, and I remember going to see it at the theater and driving home and having to go through a forest preserve and just being completely unnerved by that. It really did affect me. But yeah, then we kind of, it was odd because it did really well. I want to say it was, you know, one of the biggest grossing films, even beating Halloween in terms of profit. And you would think then after that there would have been a whole bunch of them, but for some reason it really didn't until you get to 2009, and then this Paranormal Activity film comes and just kind of created this resurgence.
No, Blair Witch, you either loved it or hated it.
Yeah.
People really hated it or they really loved it. There's not a lot of people that are like, okay, it's all right. Those are the kind of people I ignore. You really either loved it or you just hated it. A lot of people, I have friends that were told, oh, this is such a great movie, and they went to see it. They're like, what is this garbage? And the most complaints were about the style, the type of filming, the type of camera work, and the running with the camera and the point of view. People can't understand that. They want to just sit back and be lazy viewers. So a lot of people just saw it and thought, oh, no, I can't take it. It's like the type of people that have epileptic seizures when there's a fire alarm going off and there's flicker lights. It's like you couldn't go to see a Kiss concert you couldn't go to anything, you know, a sport event with that kind of thing. So you might as well just stay at home if they're either that, you know, if your tolerance is that low. Blair Witch, I thought you had to have a high tolerance in the first place, and it's what you didn't see that was actually frightening. And those of us who have actually been out in the woods or hanging out and, and enjoying, those type of situations where things can get out of hand and you don't know where to turn next, it's like, wow, you know, this could be a little frightening if you don't know what you're doing. And other people, I think they just want to be spoon-fed their horror. Blair Witch taught us that, yeah, it's more real than that.
Yeah, there definitely was that air of realism. And that kind of, you know, this past 10 years, that's what you see on TV. You have this reality TV. And you have the reality films. But Blair Witch actually was more realistic, certainly than the TV, the TV's version of realism. But I did think it was effective, and I enjoyed it. And then Paranormal Activity came out. Now, this film, it's funny to me, Paranormal Activity is equally divisive as Blair Witch. And what I found was the people that went to see it at the theater really enjoyed it. And the ones that kind of like waited for it to come out to, you know, home video seemed to be disappointed. So I want to say that Paranormal Activity, some of the excitement level was the audience participation. What do you think?
I don't know how that could be. I think it's more frightening to sit alone in your house and watch it.
I would think absolutely. So, too. But I think what it was the jumping scenes and the audience reaction. And most people believe that it was because of that, that it kind of added to the whole fear factor. I did see it at the big screen. I did think it was a lot of fun watching it with people. But I also enjoyed it alone. So, you know, it was definitely creepy. And
I had a friend. I took my friend Barb to see it. I've seen that movie, the original movie. I saw Paranormal Activity 4 times in the theater, mostly during the day. And I took several girls with, and all of them had nightmares because you're hearing things like the ice cubes in the fridge clanking down. You're hearing this in your house, the dog going up and down the stairs. And in the first movie, a lot of it was sound that was freaky. And people hear these sounds in these big houses they live in. I live in an apartment building. I hear people going out, you know, doing different things in the middle of the night all the time. I have a train that goes past my apartment all the time in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. It's a rumble. Well, it sounds just like that rumble in the movie that you hear. And I thought about the first night when I got home, I'm like, oh my God, is there a demon in the room?
Yeah.
Because it feels like that.
You start noticing things.
My friend has a dog that would go up, she would have her leg like hang out in the middle of the night out of her bed cover, and the dog would like sniff her leg or touch her leg with its cold nose, and she freaked the next time it happened because she's like, oh my God, it's a demon touching my leg, grabbing me to drag me down the hallway.
Yeah.
So it was that effective. That movie changed people. My friend Barb was freaked out by it, and her husband even told me, we cannot sleep in our house because of that movie. So that is an effective movie to me. That is like The Exorcist. My friend Barb still tells me to this day, you fucker. You took me to see that movie. I couldn't sleep. My whole family saw the movie. They couldn't sleep. And I still love the original Paranormal Activity. I prefer the original independent release before Spielberg got his hands on it.
Yeah, because there's actually different versions, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could actually create a huge version of that first movie if you wanted to edit all the scenes together. But, yeah, the pre-Spielberg independent release was my favorite, the bootleg version that we call it. It was never released officially.
Tell us what the difference is.
Well, there's a lot of differences in the scenes. A lot of differences, obviously, in the horror. Some of it is more intense in the original. The original ending ends on a different note than the final version that ended up in the theaters, or the version where we see somebody slashing their throat at the end and falling down. That is bogus. That is not the original ending. The original ending is much freakier and more realistic than that. Even though you say realistic, it's got a situation where it's even more just devastatingly cruel. And that's the way you want a horror movie to be. So the original independent version of that movie, if you've not seen it, you can get it, folks. Grab yourself a copy and watch it to the end. The ending is intense, and it's so brutal. That is how real life is, folks. But the version that's in the theater was very effective. However, it's Hollywood, folks. There's a lot of things that were added. You see the scenes that were filmed years later that were inserted, where you've got the actors gaining a lot of weight, and they're being thrown in, and you notice that it's not the same. It's not the same time frame that it was filmed, but. Yeah, they added some enhancements in the original Paranormal Activity that Spielberg wanted to insert that didn't take away from it necessarily. It's just that if you see the original version, that's the one to go with. And I think that the first two movies, Paranormal Activity 1 and 2, are interchangeable in that they both happened at the same time frame. And even though the second movie came after the first, they're actually filmed within days of each other, or they're supposed to occur within days of each other. So if you intertwine them together, you've got a damn good 3.5-4 hour movie.
There you go. What about when you add
part three? Part three is the backup to the 80s. If you know the Paranormal Activity series, you will be drawn back to the story as to what had happened to Katie and her sister when they were children, and why they were being haunted by these demons later in life that affected them in parts one and two simultaneously, as those of you who know the franchise have observed. Part three was to take us back into the 80s when they were children and to show why these things happened to them. The movie has a lot of holes in it. The plot begins to disintegrate. Be stretched, actually. You have more involvement with the grandmother and the mother, whereas in the first movie, you listen to the dialogue, they're talking about their mother and things that happened, and they've kind of reversed things. So you have to really, it's like watching the Star Wars trilogy, the prequels. You have to really suspend what you knew about the original trilogy to believe some of the stuff that's happening in the prequels, because they are not synced up. So I don't know if the direction went to somebody else. Dave would know that better than me. But it seemed like somebody got a hold of the story who originally was not involved, and they took it another place, and they forgot to do their homework. So part three of Paranormal Activity still had the elements of the first two, and that you were being filmed. In the 80s, I don't know how you could have multiple video cameras filming in a house, but they did. And that was the premise. However, you're beginning to see more Hollywood. You're getting spoon-fed your horror again. You're dealing with people. You're seeing too much. And that's the thing with horror. You can't see a lot. Blair Witch Project, you didn't see what happened at the end. You didn't know what was scaring the people. You heard the sounds. You saw the reactions, but you couldn't really see what they were running from, what they were afraid of. You just heard it or imagined it, like we all do if we're out in the woods in the middle of the night, which I have been. It's not a happy place if you're alone. So, Paranormal Activity, you know, it's a great franchise. I wish they could have kept with a more sincere telling of the story. I have to say part three was a step down, and that there were too many holes, and they made it too Hollywood. Part four, we just watched. I did not go see it in the theater because I was disappointed in part three, which I saw in the theater. But Part 4, I never saw in the theater. I watched it. I got the Blu-ray. Very disappointing movie. Absolutely no horror in it at all. Don't want to spoil it for you people. So Paranormal Activity 4, if you're a diehard, watch it. But you probably won't watch it more than once. I checked out even the 30 minutes of extra scenes. There was no horror in it. Actually, there was a little more horror in the deleted scenes than there was in the entire movie that came out. But it really, by now, it makes hardly any sense. There are too many holes. And if you really want to watch the Paranormal Activity movies, Part 1 and 2, you can get away with. Those are pretty decent movies. Even for horror movies, those are decent. You can intertwine those together. The Part 1, go for that. That's a great movie, standalone. It doesn't even need a sequel. So, but for those of you that are into Paranormal Activity, I don't want to offend anybody out there, but I thought Part 4 was absolutely abysmal. It's one horrible. Of the worst horror movies ever made.
Yeah.
It's not a horror movie at all. You're watching a bunch of rich kids run around and play and pretend to be afraid and film each other on laptops. I've never heard of such a thing.
With very little Paranormal Activity.
No, there's none.
Yeah.
There's really none. You're watching night one, night two, night three, night 20. 10, night 11, yeah. night 12, and you're seeing nothing but children run around a house. So anybody that's, I've seen freakier stuff in my childhood. So, I mean, seriously. I mean, so come on. You know, this is really just losing it for me. There's no quality of it that's horrific. The last 30 seconds of the movie are slightly tense. That's it. So there are other examples of point of view films, though, that are a lot more interesting to pursue.
Would you say, before we move on to those, though, would you say that Paranormal Activity 1, did you like that better than Blair Witch? Would you say that that's your favorite?
Yes. Paranormal Activity 1. I like Blair Witch a lot, but Paranormal Activity was definitely more close to home. A lot of us don't go out adventuresome into the woods looking for stuff. I had a lot of friends that liked to go out in the woods and smoke dope. So, yeah, we all used to go out there, grab a guitar, go smoke dope, hang out, and jam. A lot of friends like to hang out in the woods and the forest preserves around where I grew up. However, Paranormal Activity, everybody has been in a house alone, or everybody has slept alone in a home that makes noises and creaks, and you hear things at night, and you don't look over your shoulder. It's basically a movie that tells you what is happening in your room when you're sleeping. And if we all put up a video camera in our room and saw what was happening, that's what happened in that house. Blair Witch was, like, purposeful. These people went way out of their way to get in trouble. But it was a great movie nonetheless because, it was just an example of what kids do. You know, these kids went out and got lost.
Yeah.
And certainly got into like a Bermuda Triangle out there,
yeah,
and got lost. And Paranormal Activity is more about demonic hauntings of a person in a home and cannot escape. And I know that that happens too. So those of you that can relate to that, you know, I think that Paranormal Activity is a really freaky experience to see in the theater or in your own home. I think that first one is awesome.
I enjoyed the first Paranormal Activity. However, my favorite of all point of view films actually predates it, and that is Cloverfield. And if you are a Godzilla fan, and you may remember the viral campaign that preceded it, and there was so much fervor as far as like, oh, is America going to have its own Godzilla? And after it did finally come out, many Godzilla fans were very disappointed because it really wasn't. But it is a film about a giant monster basically hitting New York City, and this one character that's in the film trying to get to his girlfriend amid all the chaos that's going on. So like I said, at that time I remember going to the local Godzilla convention, G-Fest, and everybody kind of being in a furor about it, how, like, this is not Godzilla. But the fact is that it really was truer to the true original Godzilla than it was its own standalone. The original Godzilla, Gojira, that came out in 1954, actually was a dead serious movie. When we think of Godzilla, we think of the campy 1960s kind of anti-hero, that kind of came on creature features as we were growing up. But the original Gojira that came out in 1954 was almost like film noir. It was dead serious. There was nothing funny about it. And what it was basically Japan's way of working out what happened to them during World War II. Godzilla represented the United States, and it represented the atomic power and how they viewed us at that time and the destruction that was caused and the chaos. And when you look at Cloverfield from an American standpoint, it is almost impossible to watch that film and not think about 9/11. And if you actually remember that day, as I do, and were glued to your television set and watching what happened, there's no way that you will not be reminded of it by this film. When Godzilla movies came out, you know, you kind of had saw a giant monster knocking a building over in three easy pieces. Cloverfield, well, actually 9/11, reminded us that exactly how buildings look when they fall down. And Cloverfield captured it completely. It captured the confusion, the debris, the smoke, the mass exodus of New York City. And it really, to me, actually was almost, it was more effective to me than any movie or documentary that came out about 9/11 after that. To me, it actually captured it so much better, which makes sense because historically, as a race, the human race, we create monsters to deal with our fears and the things that we can't comprehend or fathom, you know, whether you're talking about the ancient Greeks or you're talking about like the mariners and sea monsters. So, you know, is Cloverfield Godzilla? No, but in my opinion, he is our Gojira. So I would say that Cloverfield is absolutely one that you should check out, even if you're not a fan of, like, you know, the whole giant monster thing. If you can get past that, definitely take the time to see this movie. It is very effective to me. And that's the whole thing about the whole point of view films. If they're done right and you don't see too much, they can be highly effective because you have that sense of realism that you don't necessarily get when you're watching a theatrical production. But, you know, and again, there's sometimes you show too much, it gets tacky. The problem with like the Paranormal Activity films, and it really you can't blame Hollywood, it's kind of the way it goes. Look at Saw. When the first Saw movie came out, it was a huge success, but when you go back and look at it, it's not that violent. But every time you make a sequel, you have to make it more over the top. So as the series went on, it just got more and more, you know, violent and gory, and you know, until it just finally imploded. The problem is with, and you know, Hollywood's doing the same thing with these, but the problem is that with point of view films, you can't show too much or you lose the entire essence of it.
However, in the Paranormal Activity 4 movie,
you saw nothing.
You saw nothing, and you just heard sounds.
Right.
I mean, it was literally just sounds.
Yeah.
And scares, quick, cheap scares like a cat jumping, a door slamming, a knife falling,
I agree.
A book falling.
Yeah.
That we could have done in our own home and filmed it and said, oh, my God, look at this. Oh, there were four Jello Jigglers.
You're
now
right.
There's three.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened?
Yeah.
It was that bad, folks.
Part four had less action than the first one.
It literally was nothing.
It was like watching your – it's like if your neighbor invites you over to watch home movies. There's nothing worse than watching somebody else's home movies.
Oh, man.
And that's what almost this was like. It was like being forced to sit there and watch like some dumb neighbor show you their home movies of shit you don't care about.
It was really bad. I mean, that's a whole – again, like you said, you can't see too much, but at the same time, show me something. You know, you've got to have some sort of drive. Poughkeepsie Tapes. There's a movie that a lot of people may not know about, but that is a very disturbing movie. It's a sequence of video clips. It's about a horror killer that, well, basically it's about a home in Poughkeepsie that was discovered full of old videotapes. Apparently a mass murderer had tortured and killed people and videotaped himself doing it, and the police and FBI found these videotapes. And so you've got clips and clips of what he filmed. It could be him kidnapping a little child or torturing a woman or torturing, you know, killing a family in a car or doing things like that. And you've got the FBI using these tapes as training tools for people and showing them what can really be done in horror. And that was another take on the point of view film I thought was interesting.
Yeah, it was definitely effective. To me, it was too effective. I thought it was very disturbing. So it kind of crossed the line with me from being entertainment to disturbing. However, it was effective. I mean, I do think it had that air of realism, don't you?
No, yeah. Well, it was presented as a, basically like an FBI film.
Yeah,
like, okay,
yeah.
Well,
like
you're like a documentary. More so than a lot of the other point of view films. This was like a documentary of found footage that the FBI had found and said, okay, here are some clips.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the footage was very disturbing
yeah.
of this man who had captured certain people and
like
was
the kidnapping
torturing
of
them.
A child.
Yeah,
it's
the
like
kidnapping
every parent's nightmare. Yeah.
It was filmed, the person kidnapping this child and running off with them, you know, and showed the whole exchange. And it was very well done. Again, like the original Paranormal Activity or Blair Witch, it seemed like you were in the movie. Mm-hmm. And you could really get into the killer's scope. It was filmed from the killer's perspective as opposed to the victim's.
Right.
So you had a unique take on that. And the movie was very, it's a very serious sitting.
It's not for the light at heart.
Yeah, exactly. And even the scenes that are filmed just in horror, they are, they're very, very... horrific, you could say. So whoever put out that movie did a good job with that, I would say. When it comes to the horror, Poughkeepsie Tapes is very disturbing. If you've got the stomach for it and the patience, sit through that. That's an enjoyable watch if you're into horror.
Yeah, and it's interesting how the point of view films are really kind of sweeping the whole subgenres of horror.
Well, what year did the Poughkeepsie Tapes come out?
Oh, God, I don't even know if it's come out.
It's never come out.
I just
That's
got an advanced copy.
Yeah, it's never been released.
Yeah. I got a hold of an advanced copy. I don't know how it's going with as far as, like, release. Because, to be honest with you, after I watched it, I wanted to, like, throw it out the window and go take a shower. It was, like, that intense for me. But I had gotten an advanced copy of it, and I did not know what it was about, and I put it on and was deeply disturbed, and basically the crescendo of the story is me clutching one of my children and basically being, oh my God, I hope nothing ever happens to you. I was that terrified.
Yeah.
But I will say that, the whole subgenre of horror is affected by this whole point of view thing. That's what's so interesting. I mean, you have Cloverfield, which dealt with the giant monster genre. You know, you have the Paranormal Activity, which deals with the supernatural. And the Poughkeepsie Tapes, which deals with, like, you know, true crime. And you also dealt with it in terms of the Exorcist-type films. And we had a few of them. We actually had a couple examples, neither one of which I'm very happy with. One was The Last Exorcism, which I now hear is having a sequel. Probably the worst, though, was The Devil Inside, which basically dealt with a woman going to Rome, where apparently the Catholic Church actually has their own little section of special trainees that deal with exorcisms. And she's going
out. Gotta go to Rome. Huh?
You gotta go to Rome.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like Catholic Church special victims unit. And you go out there, and they basically, there's these two priests that are going to the classes, but basically are kind of acting alone and going out and handling it. And it just goes from the sublime to the ridiculous. To the point where, you know, you have this handheld, you know, these films are all based on handheld footage. And then all of a sudden, halfway through the movie, it has a soundtrack. I'm not sure how that works, but that's what happened, you know. And that's another problem. Getting back really quick to Paranormal Activity 4, that was my biggest issue. It was like it reminded me of, like, back in the 80s. I don't know if you remember that horrific TV show, America's Funniest Home Videos. It was like Jam for old people. But basically, you always knew which one of those home videos were faked because you would have people videotaping things that you normally would not be videotaping.
Right.
You know, like you'd say, oh, look, I'm just videotaping somebody randomly walking down the street. And then they trip. Oh, my God. What was the chances of that?
YouTube is galore with it.
Yeah. And Paranormal Activity 4 was like, okay, why are they videotaping this? Why are you even bothering? Yeah, this is just boring scenes that have nothing to do with the price of eggs, and we don't need to see this. And and even if something happens, it doesn't make sense for something to happen because there's no reason for you to be videotaping.
There wasn't any horror to it. Right. There was nothing to be afraid of, and it was if you were supposed to be afraid, it was so childish, the thought behind it. That how could anybody be afraid of it? I mean, a trail of toys leading you to an empty closet.
Right.
Oh, that was scary.
Wow. Yeah, it was all parlor tricks.
It was garbage. Yeah. It was like we did this stuff.
Oh my God,
high school.
The chandelier is shaking.
Yeah.
Like, come on. It was so stupid. But yeah, that's the other part of the point of view film. Not only can you not show too much, but you have to have a damn good reason why you're fucking videotaping.
I mean, if a chandelier
if you're
is shaking,
you're gonna be hand videotaping.
I mean,
come on.
In the original Paranormal Activity, you had such things. You had things like a door opening and closing slowly, but when you think about it, the person was filming for a reason because they were having a reason to film. In this movie, it's almost like they're filming for no reason. They're filming before there is
absolutely
a reason to film.
Yeah, and that makes it even dumber because you're like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, I mean, things are falling and happening, and you're like, oh, it just happened?
Right.
I mean, they were like, oh my God, it had never happened before. So it just, yeah, I agree. That particular franchise has fallen, folks. Paranormal Activity had a lot of premise and a lot of hope to it as a franchise. However, they should have never went past the first one. I love the original indie version of Paranormal Activity. You had nobodies in the cast, very few people. very effectively done. And what they've done with this, I think, is a travesty.
Well,
I'm a fan.
You know, Hollywood, we understand you're a business. You're trying to make money, and we certainly don't begrudge you that. But why don't you just do, like, standalone movies? Like, have every movie be a different...
They could have.
A different story that deals with a different family.
That's dealing
with a different demon or a poltergeist or a ghost. You know, stop trying to keep going with this one storyline that just gets so drawn out and, as you said before, has so many holes in it.
Now they've got a coven.
It's just, you know, yeah, exactly. It's basically just collapsing on itself. So that's my message to you, Hollywood. Hope you're listening. And
yeah.
I'm sure you are. But, yeah, so... And another... genre that was also touched by the point of view filmmaking was the zombie genre, and that was through the Wreck films. In Spain, they came out with the movie Wreck, which dealt with it's kind of a zombie film that deals with that kind of thing, and it has a reporter that's basically shadowing an ambulance for a documentary or story she's doing, and then ends up getting called into this where this building. They get this call, and then they sort of end up, before you know it, they're basically locked into this building with the undead or whatever they are, and fighting for their lives. The United States came out with a blow-by-blow remake called Quarantine. I strongly urge you to see Wreck instead. It's basically the same movie, but it's somehow creepier. I don't know why.
And that's
but it's
Spanish?
Better. It's Spanish and
is
subtitled.
Is it subtitled?
It's subtitled, okay. But it's a better film. I actually watched them back-to-back. I watched Wreck and then Quarantine. In the order they were created, and I have to say Wreck was more effective. As far as Wreck 2, that's effective also. The Wreck series, I have not seen the third as of this date, but Wreck 1 and 2 I recommend. Quarantine,
recommend.
I recommend, exactly.
I like
you
that.
Know, I just missed, you know, I didn't even try See? That. See how that just goes. And Quarantine 2, though, was horrific. Wreck 2 and Quarantine 2 are not, mirrors of each other. They are completely different, and again, stick with the Spaniards and stay away from the Quarantine one. So, but yeah, that's another example of it. And I have to say, you know, these films are cheap. You know, back in the 80s, and we've discussed this in past shows, it was the slasher films. And why were slashers so prolific? Because they were cheap.
Yeah.
You know, and they would make a profit. And sadly, as much as you and I bitch about Paranormal Activity 4, it cost them $5 million to make, and they made $53 million on it.
I can't believe it.
So they don't care that we're, you know, if people are leaving the theater pissed off. They made a huge profit.
It took them more to pay to decorate the house than to actually have the film show some effects. And the effects that we want aren't things that you can see. And they're just having doors opening. Okay, you know, somebody, you know, levitating. And well, it's obvious something's happening. What we want to see is something frightening, something that's unusual, something that actually, when you go home and turn off the lights and get into bed, that freaks you out that could be happening in your house. It's not going to be happening into your house the way it happens here. And so, like you said, Dave, they went over the top and way fell. I mean,
it's just spread itself too thin. And sadly, they are actually coming out with a part 5, people. It's already in the works.
How can they
it's
go?
Out,
I mean, where?
It's coming out this October, so.
There's barely any connectivity in the fourth movie and in the first. I mean, it's just so stretched out now. I think the third movie did a lot of damage to the Paranormal Activity franchise. I know a lot of people that saw all of them. And definitely say the third movie was like, what are you doing? This is bad. The first two at least had a glimmer of similarity and had some continuity to the story. But even in the second movie, you notice the holes. You notice the change in the story. So I would prefer that they just stick with the original. If you're going to do it right.
Yeah, it's getting worse and worse. I didn't care for part 3, but after seeing part 4, I'm ready to go run and embrace it.
I'm
going to
watch
part
3 again. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it
yeah.
again because I need to know what happened with this movie. This is just ridiculous. It's so bad. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody who haven't seen it because I just saw it, and I can't say I will ever watch it again. It's one of those movies. Part 4, hello.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did I sit through this
for?
Well, I even watched
that
we deleted. Watched the deleted scenes.
It really should have came with a basically a caution label that says, you know, do not apparate
rated R for no horror.
Do not apparate heavy machinery because this can and will cause drowsiness, and certainly it was basically an hour and a half of our lives that we won't get back. And we actually even to further punish ourselves sat through the 30 minutes of extras.
Yeah, that's
of the
advertised.
Scenes that were cut and
for the
tell
Blu-ray.
Tell us about those scenes. Were
the
they,
Blu-ray version
they
includes
were horrible.
30 extra minutes. Now, the movie's an hour and a half long. You get 30 extra minutes for the Blu-ray mm-hmm. of nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Nothing. Kids playing hide and seek. Kids, more kids. Nothing. I mean, the door creaks open. Well, hello. I mean, this is nothing new to us. There's no horror. There's absolutely no horror, no jumps, no scares, zero in part four. Anyone that tells you otherwise is a liar. They do not know what scares are. They live a very cushiony, nerfy life. So if you want to see part four, you know what I'm talking about. Watch it. And again, you'll never see it again.
You know, I would suggest to viewers to that if you want to see part four, don't bother. Go knock on your neighbor's door and ask if you can watch their home videos.
Anybody
it will be
out there
want to
buy mine?
As exciting.
$10.
Yeah, yeah. Jason bought the Blu-ray, and so if you would like it for $10, please write us.
And they're coming out with a fifth movie.
LiveMail.com. Yeah.
I never saw part four in the theater because I rejected part three. I saw it in the theater, and I was walking out of it going,
"What?
I'm not afraid. I'm not. There's nothing about this movie. This is just trifling.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to offend anybody out there, but seriously, Paranormal Activity, the franchise is dead.
Yeah, and I'm really thinking that the whole point of view thing needs to be dead because another movie that came out not too long ago was VHS. Which dealt with yet another subgenre of horror. This one, the anthology film, which is kind of one of the rare subgenres where you have like the Tales from the Crypt or Tales from the Dark Side, the movie, and you have like all these stories in one. And somehow they managed to do it with the whole point of view thing where basically these criminals bust into this guy's house. They find all these VHS tapes and each one is like a different story that deals with, you know, and it deals with completely different things. Some of the stories are effective, others not so much. The movie's not bad. It's worth checking out. I definitely would say it's much better than Paranormal Activity 4. But again, much longer are we going to go? I am almost at the point, you know, I get that we had this whole era of realism, you know, whether we're talking about reality TV, although in my opinion, there's nothing more unrealistic than reality TV.
Yeah, that's bad.
You know, or these point of view films, which of course are dirt cheap, like the slasher of the 80s, and that's why Hollywood has to beat it to death. But I almost would like to go back to seeing some good old-fashioned horror storytelling and see like a really good horror movie that's fresh and not, you know, the remakes. We've got a whole shitload of remakes coming. So right now what Hollywood's basically doing is churning out remakes and point-of-view films.
Well, boredom does inspire. So when you are at a point where you feel like you've got nowhere else to go, somebody's going to come and blow your mind. And again, going out back, the point-of-view films that we enjoy, Blair Witch Project, Paranormal Activity, the original. We like Cloverfield. Poughkeepsie Tapes is interesting if you're into
if you don't
really
have
intense.
A weak stomach. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be really, I mean, into that.
Yeah.
But you've got a few out there. There are still, you know,
Troll
that we
Hunter.
Herald.
Troll Hunter got a lot of attention.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
That was actually from a Norwegian film. And the concept is silly. It's the whole idea of basically the government has these people that they send out because there are trolls out there, and they have this kind of top secret task force thing, and a group of young people follow this one and then soon discover that trolls are not only real, but there's different kinds. And it starts out, I have to say, the movie actually is very entertaining, but again, it kind of loses something because it shows too much. But even though it's a ridiculous concept, it's still an entertaining movie. So I would say check it out. I'm going to recommend that. But no matter what your point of view is on these films, I am going to say that it's time for it to end.
Yeah.
And let's move on to something new and come up with something fresh, Hollywood.
Yes.
Come up with something new. What do you think, Jason? What would you like to see?
I think so. And I'm glad that you all sat here and listened to us. This is our point of view on POV Films on Terror on Tequila.
Listening to Terror on Tequila.